This morning's scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 45. 43, excuse me. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her."
Good morning. Don't you love it when you sit down to dinner and the phone rings? I'm pretty sure that when my phone rings, my cell phone or whatever, nowadays my cell phone actually, I get text messages from some insurance company that says if you're a good driver in Arkansas, you can save so much dollars. And I'm like, wow, that doesn't apply to me. You know, I'm pretty sure when my phone rings at home, it's Rachel, and she wants to give me a new car warranty for my old truck, or it's Google and they want to make sure that I claim my business listing, and it's or maybe they've got insurance for me to buy, or maybe it's French Hill wanting me to know what's going on in the world around me today, or my favorite is when I answer the phone and they say, "Don't hang up." I don't know what they say after that. I always hang up. But we get so many things in life that distract us. Many of us, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I titled the sermon Sales Calls and Other Distractions, but we're not going to talk about sales calls and distraction. Well, a little bit about distractions. Many of us are familiar with the story of Martha and Mary, or Mary and Martha. And I believe most of us are especially familiar with the version that we related here by Luke that we read this morning. That's one of our stories that we know. At least it should be fairly familiar because it hadn't been that long since we studied it. So it ought to be familiar. But this morning we're going to look at these two women maybe from a little different perspective. It's the same two sisters, and it's the same stories, but I think there may be a hidden gem here for us to discover as we go through this. But first, let's begin with the familiar story. The first time Martha and Mary appear to us in Scripture, or are mentioned, is when they offered hospitality of their home to Jesus. Jesus' visit to their homes, recorded here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41 and following there, it says in verse 38, we're told that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. So we know it's her home. In so doing, she was conforming to the custom of the day. We're also told that Martha had a sister named Mary, and it's presumed that Mary lived with Martha in the home there. However, it's very clear that Martha is the mistress of the house. Mary is described as one who sat at Jesus' feet. You know, one who sat at another's feet placed themselves in a position of subjection so that they could learn from them and humility. So Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. She's listening to his teaching, and this was definitely not according to tradition. Women were excluded from teaching and learning. However, Jesus and Mary were not conforming to the custom of the day. Jesus was teaching a woman, and Mary was listening eagerly. No doubt, there were probably a number of men present as well at the time, his disciples among them. And so as Jesus taught, she's sitting there among the men, which would have been highly irregular. In fact, probably considered by some to be quite scandalous that she was there. But while Mary's at Jesus' feet, that's an actual picture of Martha, Martha was busy taking care of the meal. It was probably a large meal. If Jesus' disciples are with him, you've got at least a dozen or so at any given time, probably maybe 15 or 20, because when they go to choose additional apostles, they have to have some of those who have been with them since the very beginning. And so there's more than the 12, because there are at least two men qualified by that point that have been there since the beginning of his ministry. So you've probably got a fairly large group. She's trying to prepare the meal, and she's quite distracted because she's looking around expecting Mary to be there to help. But Mary's not there. Imagine, if you will, Jesus is Mary's hero. I mean, but she's so excited. She sits down and she's right there in the presence of Jesus, and she forgets all about Martha. And she forgets all about the meal. And she forgets all about setting the table and serving the people because she's so busy listening. But Martha doesn't share that enthusiasm. No, Martha, it's not that she doesn't enjoy listening to Jesus. Everybody likes listening to Jesus. But there's work to be done, and Mary's just not doing her share. And little by little, Martha gets upset. And she finally gets so mad, and she goes to Jesus, and it's kind of amazing. She says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work?" And then in verse 40, she tells Jesus what to do. "Command my sister to help." When Jesus came to her house, she could have prepared the meal while listening to Jesus. She could have done both. She could have listened while preparing. She could have prepared the meal and listened to Jesus. But she wasn't. She wasn't listening to Jesus. And why wasn't she listening? Verse 40 says she was distracted. What's distracting her? Mary is. You know, Mary's not doing what Martha thinks she ought to do. And it's not that Mary was a lazy girl. If Mary was a lazy girl, Jesus would have said, "Get up, girl, and do your job." But he didn't say that. In fact, Jesus actually says of Mary, "Hey, she's chosen the better part." And it's amazing there that she's distracted, not necessarily only by her serving, but by Mary. Have you ever been so distracted by somebody else that you neglected to listen to Jesus? You know, I've had people say before that they can't come to church because of somebody, or they can't do this because of somebody, or somebody is standing between them and coming to God. And the truth of the matter is, if there's anybody standing between you and God, guess which one of you is closer? That's a scary thought. And they may not actually be closer, but you're allowing yourself to get further behind them. We can't allow that to happen. You hear what Jesus said to her? "Martha, Martha, you're so anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part." That's very familiar because it meets with something Jesus is going to say in another place. When Mary, the same Mary, later anoints the feet of Jesus and Judas rebukes her, because we could have sold all that perfume and given it to the poor, Jesus is going to say almost the exact same thing to Judas. He's going to say, "Judas, the poor you always have with you, but me you will not always have." See, Martha knew that it needed to be done, but she had her priority a little bit in the wrong place. But there's another familiar story about Mary and Martha I'd like us to look at this morning. It's found in John chapter 11. John 11 tells the story of Jesus getting word that his friend Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, was sick. And John says, after receiving the news, Jesus tarried for 2 days. And that's curious to us on some levels. I mean, why did Jesus tarry for 2 days? He could have sent the servant back and said, "Hey, he's healed." Because Jesus can heal from a distance. He did for the centurion's servant. He could have dropped everything and ran to the house. He did in the case of Jairus' daughter, where he ran to the house pretty much. He got distracted by the lady that had the issues. But on the way, he took off that time to go there, and he could have done that. We'd expect him to do almost anything except tarry. But he did. He waits 2 whole days. And when he tells them Lazarus is sleeping, they don't understand. So bluntly, he tells them Lazarus is dead. And how odd this must seem to them. After all, if Lazarus is dead, what good does it do to go back and get himself killed? Because by this time, the Jews are plotting to kill him. But Thomas, the one that we later remember as Doubting Thomas, Thomas says, "Let us go back with him, so that we may die with him." What courage it took to say those words. Let's read a little bit of this narrative together. And I'm going to ask Charlie if you'll keep up with the text for me, because I'm not sure I can do that while I'm reading it. Starting in John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. By the way, this is actually going to happen in the next chapter. John is telling us this is who it is, and we're going to talk more about her in the next chapter, but let's go on here. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in them. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Did you catch that? Now look what happens when Jesus approaches the town. We're going to continue reading here. And Charlie, I'm going to ask for your help again. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Did you catch that? Martha, when she hears Jesus is coming, rushes out. She can't wait to go see Jesus, because she knows even though Lazarus is dead, Jesus can still help. She believes that with all her heart. But Mary stayed home. Martha acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But Mary stayed home. Martha left everything and went running to see Jesus when he came to town. But Mary stayed home. Martha believed there was hope, but Mary stayed home. You know, in fact, the very next verses tell us that Martha had to leave Jesus, or actually had to send people from Jesus. Martha had to leave Jesus, the presence of Jesus, and go back to Mary and tell her, Jesus is asking for you. Mary was not seeking Jesus. Jesus was seeking Mary. Now this is the same Mary that was sitting at his feet earlier. What's changed? What's changed? We've got a big flip-flop here. When Martha sees Jesus, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now I know that God will grant you whatever you ask. She knows there's still hope. Mary, when she comes to Jesus, says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then it says she falls down weeping. There's a difference there. There's a lot of difference in the reactions of these two women in two different situations. One wants to be in the presence of Jesus, and the other's busy and distracted. Now, one believes in Jesus with all her heart and hopes, and the other one is discouraged. As we look at this story, what a flip-flop in their positions. But even when Jesus opens the tomb, Martha, the one who just expressed her great faith in his ability to, says, "Wait, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now, there's a stench." But when Jesus says those magical words, "Lazarus, come forth," and the man comes forward, and Jesus says, "Unbind him," which one do you think was the one that immediately went running to unbind their brother? Or was it both? What do you think happened when it was time to go to work and unbind him? There's another story about Martha and Mary that's recorded in our Bibles. It's in the next chapter, in chapter 12. And Charlie, if you'll help again. Here's how it opens. And we're going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read this first few verses here. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. Interesting. And Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him, or reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Here we are again at Martha's house. Here we are again, only this time, Martha's serving again. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus again, but this time Martha's not distracted. This time Martha is serving her Lord. The difference is that's not a heavy burden. She's serving the one she has proclaimed to be the Christ, the Son of God who was to come. And that's not a burden on her anymore. And this time Mary's not just sitting there listening. This time Mary's actually demonstrating her love for Jesus. What changed? Well, Lazarus has been raised from the dead. That's probably a pretty big deal in their lives. Their whole lives have been transformed with those three words, "Lazarus, come forth." It was the sweetest words they'd ever heard, for sure. And now, service and sacrifice were simply outpourings of the love that they had for Jesus and the love that he had shown for them. So what lessons do we learn? You know, often we can be like Martha. You know, sometimes, in spite of our love for the Lord, we just get distracted by the things of the world. You know, we're even warned that we need to be careful not to allow the distractions of the world take us away from God, because sometimes we can just get so caught up in politics, or we can get so caught up in COVID, or we can get so caught up in the school, or we can get so caught up in work, or we can get so caught up in relationships that we forget all about God and our responsibilities with him and our love for him, because we get so distracted. And the cares and concerns can make us so busy that we lose track of what's most important. That's what happened to Martha sometimes. But remember what Jesus said about birds and food and worry? He said, "The birds have enough to eat. Don't worry about anything. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be taken care of. We don't have to worry about that." You know, and serving him can be a great blessing. Other times, we can be more like Mary. You know, we can be sitting at the feet of Jesus. We love sitting at the feet of Jesus. We hang on his every word as we read through our Bibles, and we sing and we pray and we enjoy his presence in our lives. And when we're with him, all our cares and concerns just seem to not matter at all. But at other times, like Mary, we can kind of turn away from him. Maybe he didn't answer a prayer that was so important to us. I have known in my life many people who, because of the loss of a relationship that they had prayed diligently about, or the loss of a loved one that they had prayed for their health diligently, or the loss of some issue in their life that they had prayed and prayed and prayed about, and it seemed like God didn't hear their prayers, that they lost their faith, or if they didn't lose their faith, at least they turned away from their God a little bit, like Mary did there. But when we realize how wonderful he really is, and when we realize how truly much he loves us, our turning away can even become an offering of sacrifice to him, because there's no sacrifice too great. Jesus tarried for 2 days. You know, he told his disciples he was glad that he wasn't there when Lazarus died, so that they could see and believe. That's difficult for us to understand sometimes. Why would God allow suffering? Why would God allow pain? In this case, why would he allow someone that he loved to die? And he says it was so that they could believe, and so they could write it down so that we could believe as well. That was an important part of it as well. How often has Jesus tarried in answering your prayers? I know I've prayed before, and you know, I'm the guy that prays for patience and says, Lord, I want patience right now. But what I read, when I read about, if you want patience, you're going to endure temptations and trials and all kinds of things. It's what's going to endure or cause you to have patience. I don't want any of those things, so I don't pray for patience anymore, because I don't want to have to go through any of the things that you have to do to receive patience. But no, we need that. We need to learn to wait on the Lord and wait on his time. In his time, all his promises will be fulfilled. It was 400 years before the promises to Abraham were fulfilled. It was 400 years before the kingdom was restored. Over and over and over again, it was 1,000 years from the time David wrote, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my feet while I make your enemies a footstool. It was 1,000 years before the Lord came and walked on this planet. And yes, he's coming again. And it's been 2,000 years. Jesus tarried 2 days. Jesus tarries sometimes. And usually, it's for our best. This morning, are you a Mary or a Martha? You see, at one time, one of them's faith was very strong, and the other one seemed to be distracted. At another time, one of them's faith was very strong, and the other one seemed to be disillusioned. And at another time, both of them seemed to have perfect faith with sacrifice and service. So maybe the question is more appropriately, at which stage of life are you? Don't count someone out just because they're a little discouraged. Don't count someone out just because they're a little distracted, because God can change us all. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Perhaps you're not a Christian, and it's time for you to say, hey, you know what? I've put it off long enough. I've been distracted long enough. It's time for me to put aside all of the cares and concerns of this world and come to God with all my heart. And I'm ready to be baptized into Christ, to name him King of my life. Maybe you're ready for that today. Maybe today you're someone who has said, you know, all my life I've sat at the feet of Jesus, but I just, seems like recently, unless he calls me, I'm not there. And it's time for you to come back. If you need to respond, we're going to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing to encourage you.